T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Budget. So, Representative Bobby Cox, you on the line?
I am. Good morning, Lee. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning.
Yeah, hope your listeners are safe out there. I got two young kids who are itching to go sledding today. So after this, we're gonna grab some breakfast and do that. But I hope everyone's staying out safe out there. So.
Yeah. Hopefully, people are staying at home. That's the best thing, doing sledding with the kids. That makes it fun and not as dangerous.
Absolutely. And then I've been fielding a couple of calls for power outages, so hopefully people know who to call, you know, to get on that. But they can reach out to me. Even if they're not in my district, we can help them out if they got power outages, you know. But I think most people
are Duke this area, and I think that's real user-friendly. I think you can report it right on their website. I've done that before myself. And they kind of give you a little text alert when it's back on. So they've been pretty. I don't know what it is in your area. I think I'm thankful that we haven't lost a lot of power in Spartanburg, but I don't know what Greenville's looking like.
Yeah, it's about the same. My mom lost it a little bit over in Taylor's, but it's about the same. It's been pretty consistent, which is good. But yeah, you're right. The crews are pretty well positioned to address it, which is good. So a lot of lessons learned from the past, but stay safe out there and don't drive unless you have to, you know? So.
Well, if you want to tackle guns first, I know we got, and I mentioned that was kind of the genesis of our discussion because I believe it was Representative Hill, we were discussing a little bit about some of the restrictions that got put into the open carry bill.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to explain that a little bit, just to, for our listeners to understand, since they heard one side, so they can get the other side of it.
Yeah. And I think overall we're pretty much on the same side. It's just kind of how to get there. There's a couple of things that are out there that we can't be pushing now. But as your listeners probably know, I know you definitely know, Lee, that the legislature works on a two-year session. And so we're going into our second year of a two-year session. And so essentially – any bills that are still in committee that have not passed both chambers and signed by the governor into law, by the end of this session, they'd essentially go away. And it's like a redo. And so we'll have to reintroduce, bills next year that don't go into law. And so in regard to the gun debate that occurred last year in the advancement of the Second Amendment, I can tell you what occurred and then what's on the horizon, what we can actually focus on this session as well. But we did a dual track last year with two large Second Amendment bills. And I tell you that, I came on the Terror Show several times to discuss this. I was so thankful that we were able to get a lot of the information out to weigh in on certain legislators. But we were worried overall that the Senate would not take up constitutional carry. And so we did dual tracks. We did one bill, which was open carry with training. And then we did a constitutional carry bill as well, two standalone bills. And I was fortunate to be the primary sponsor for both of them. We worked on both through the House. They came out of Judiciary Committee on the floor of the House and went over to the Senate. And so that's the first time that's ever occurred in the history of the legislature, which is good, which is you're seeing a different shift in how people are viewing guns in the legislature. We're long overdue with our heritage to embrace the Second Amendment fully here in the state. And so open carry with training, as people know, you still need the required CWP permit from SLED, constitutional carry, which I've always been open about, is my main goal, is that you don't need a permission slip from the government to exercise your Second Amendment right. And so both of those passed out, which is great. Went over to the Senate. We're very aware of the dynamic of the Senate, as you know, Lee, where you know, a lot of the really conservative measures at time get held up over there. And we have very vocal resistance to constitutional carry over there. The chairman of the Judiciary Committee on the Senate said that he would never bring up constitutional carry as long as he was chairman in the committee. And then the Senate Majority Leader himself said he was against constitutional carry. And so it had an uphill battle. So that's why we did the dual track. Open carry with training, which is the permit one, came up through the committee in the Senate, went onto the floor. Our friend Senator Shane Martin attempted to add actually the constitutional carry bill that was passed of the House onto it as an amendment, but it actually failed on the Senate floor, and it was several Republicans voting against constitutional carry. And so I'm glad we did the dual track. It's not what we wanted. But the Open Carry with Training Act, which is what was passed into law, did advance the Second Amendment, did not fully restore it. So we joined 45 other states as an open carry state. And so the bill itself, what it does is it gives the atmosphere of us being a sanctuary state. And so if the Biden administration says, hey, you can't have, you know, short barrel rifles or suppressors or whatever anti-Second Amendment, regulation, we cannot use state funds to enforce those anti-gun measures here in the state. Also, it does away with the CWP fee. So, you have to get a permit, but you don't have to pay for it to sled to get it. Also, it allows churches that are not, or they're using schools during their worship services, you know, smaller congregations, they can actually carry now. They were not able to because it's federal law. And so they're actually able to carry guns in churches now, in schools where they're using it as churches during their worship times. It reduces the amount of rounds you need to qualify because of the ammo shortage. That's one of the everyone's short on ammo right now. But the one that we discussed, Lee, and one that was a concern was this provision that was added last minute onto the floor of the Open Carry with Training Act on the House side was it allows cities to not allow open carry during permanent events. And so that was a measure I was against from the beginning. I was approached early on when we were formulating the bill to put that in. And my fear was exactly what's happening now. You get cities like Charleston or Columbia where they do a carte blanche. Hey, every time there's a permanent event, you can't carry it openly. You can still carry concealed. But yet, here we get back to the argument of like we're selecting when we can exercise our rights and not self-protection. So I didn't include it in the original bill, but it was added on as a floor amendment, a voice vote last minute as we were doing the gun debate in the House, and it passed. Several of the upstate legislators voted against it because of our concern of what the cities were going to do, and we're seeing that right now. So,
was there a roll call requested on that, or why didn't we have a roll call vote?
Exactly, yeah. There was actually no roll call requested. I was approached that day about inserting it, and I said, hey, I have concerns about this. Second Amendment groups have concerns about this. This is placing a measure that we don't really need that restricts us, you know.
So, yeah. Representative Cox, we've got a break. Can you stay through the break? Because I'd love to get into this. I know a lot of our listeners would like to kind of have further discussion. You have time for that or no this morning?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to talk about this for them.
All right, good deal. This is Lee Bright with Representative Bobby Cox. He's going to stay with us through the break, and we're going to discuss some more on the gun bill.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hello, this is Lee Bright filling in for Tara this morning. We've got Representative Bobby Cox on the line. We've been talking about the gun bill. I had that one question about how did that unfriendly amendment get passed, but now I've got a second question. And if we can, the two things I really would like to know is, one, why did we not get a roll call when it only takes 10 hands in the House so we would know who supported that? Why was that not demanded? And the second question is, why would we send two bills over to the Senate when we know that any time you give the Senate the opportunity to moderate, they will, but now they have a supermajority and we give them that opportunity? So the first question ended up being the second question, so now I got two for you if you can answer those.
Yeah, sure. So just in case listeners weren't or tuning in, just come tuning in now, the what we're discussing is the open carry with training bill, which you know, allows us to open carry now with a permit, but there was a provision that was added on the floor. It was a floor amendment during the debate, and we had about, I forget, Lee, it was probably like 50 or so. You know, when the bigger bills have a lot more amendments, and so we were crunching through them pretty quickly. And I'd have to go back and watch the video of who actually introduced that bill, that amendment that made cities not allow open carry during permanent events if they chose to and still carry concealed. But it was pretty fast and furious that day. And so I have to go back and look at who actually introduced that, because usually there's a core group of us here, usually it's in the upstate, that call upon roll call votes to put people on the record to address that certain thing. So I don't know why that one. I remember saying no against it. I remember it taking us by surprise. So usually there's a roll call vote for something of that political manner, you know? So I'd have to go back and look at that, Lee, and circle back, and maybe I can come back again and we can discuss it more. Who introduced it? Why didn't we get that one? And then, your second question. So I touched upon this a little bit in our first part where we entered into this enterprise of, you know, we have supermajorities in both the House and the Senate. Why aren't we an open carry state? Why aren't we a constitutional carry state? Why do we need a permission slip from the government to exercise our Second Amendment freedoms? And so so that was one of my main goals coming into this. You know, this is my second term. That was one of my main goals coming into this. I'm an Army Ranger background. I work for a gun company. I'm very intimately familiar with freedoms, you know, under the Constitution, as well as firearms and Second Amendment. So I said, why isn't South Carolina an open carry, constitutional carry state? Like, this is going to be one of my main goals. And so I started to work the dynamic and the ground. There's been a lot of advocates doing this over the past years. And so so I looked at the dynamic of the Senate and I said, hey, there's you know, a supermajority over there. There should be easy to pass a constitutional carry bill. But as I said before, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee said he would never bring a constitutional carry bill through his committee as long as he was a chairman there. And as this debate started to go on, then we had the Senate Majority Leader over there saying he would not support the constitutional carry bill. So that's two big figures over in the Senate, which is why we worked the dual track to get over there.
Yeah,
Shane Martin, like I said, Senator Martin, added on constitutional carry onto the open carry bill. So they actually had a constitutional carry vote over there on the floor of the Senate, and constitutional carry failed. And so if we had not done the dual track, we would not be an open carry state right now. We have finally joined 45 other states as an open carry state. Now, that's one step forward. Like, I want to go all the way with constitutional carry. And we can still do that, Lee. We have constitutional carry over in the Senate right now, and we have one more year to get it through. So I think – so if I can make a recommendation to listeners, they need to call their senators to support 3096 constitutional carry. Like, we could be a constitutional carry state by May. If they actually bring that up. And two, call the governor. We've seen other governors across the nation that are actually championing constitutional carry. And we need Governor McMaster to do that as well. Like, we shouldn't be done with open carry. We're trying to continue to keep driving forward, with this process. One of the big things that Democrats and even moderate Republicans were bringing up is that if we passed open carry, we would be the Wild West. And look at us. I mean, we've been an open carry state for a year, and there's been no occurrence right now, no problems with open carry, that kind of thing. So why not constitutional carry? Let's open it up. And I tell you, constitutional carry, it doesn't discriminate. You just have to be a law-abiding citizen, and anyone can carry openly. So let's do that. So that's kind of the answer to your question. Hopefully that covered it. So let me circle back with you and talk more.
Yeah, and do you have time to go to the budget next session, or you need to get moving? I know you said you had some plans this morning.
Yeah, I can do the budget if that would help out with it. I can do that.
Yeah, we just haven't had a House perspective on the budget. If you can stay through one more break, we'll get on the budget, and then we'll talk about you once you hang up. How about that? Representative Bobby Cox, we appreciate you coming on Terry's show. This is Lee Bright filling in. Hello, this is Lee Bright filling in for Tara this morning. We've got Representative Bobby Cox on the line. I wanted to get into a little bit of the budget issues. We had Tom Davis on last week. He was saying they had an estimated $6.25 billion surplus. And I look at last year's budget, and there was this is the conference report from last year, and I don't know what vetoes might have got sustained out of this, but $520 million in additional recurring revenues were spent, $1.3 billion in projected surplus. This year he's saying $6.25 billion. The budget last year, and just a tough question for you. You only had six votes against the budget. You voted for it last year. Tell me the reasoning behind, because we got all this money spent on parking garages over in Spartanburg, and we've got the budget was just outrageous last year. There's $19 million for the Arts Commission for a downtown convention center. Tell our listeners, because our listeners, for the most part, aren't for that kind of spending. Can you justify that to us and tell us about what's going to happen this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we do an annual budget process that consumes a lot of our floor time, committee time. And I tell you, we have, a few people that vote against the budget when it hits the floor of the House. I tell you, that's an easy type step for some people who are not doing the homework and the rigor into the budget process. There's so much that goes into it. They're actually doing meetings right now with the Ways and Means Committee of each budget line, each section, each subcommittee of where that appropriations is going to go. And so I would say, if you have not engaged as a legislator, and really, as a citizen, and we're all busy. I mean, a lot of people have jobs, and this is so nuanced at times. That's why it gets filled with a lot of people who at times don't have the best interest in mind. They just have time to do it as legislators. But, I get a lot of notes right as the budget's about to go to the floor. Vote against the budget. It's too big. And I agree it's too big. There are certain things that does not need to be included in the budget. And we go through the budget's divided up in sections, and it pertains. I vote against a lot of the sections because of the exact spending that you mentioned, Lee, where why is this park down in the middle of the state getting taxpayer money? Where can you justify the ROI and why are we spending money in that regard? Why is this earmark going over to the low country just to help out a legislator, But a lot of that stuff is addressed in the subcommittee. And so we're having meetings right now where people can tune in, look at the agenda, look what's being voted on, and address it there. Because as soon as it gets to the floor, as you know, Lee, it's hard to adjust it. And so I can vote against certain sections, but I have been engaging on the floor level as it's starting to be formulated to actually say, hey, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? I've got a lot of, I've got a couple years underneath me now. It's only my second session here. And so I can say, hey, why are you spending this here? What is this going on here? And then I'm trying to educate my constituents to not just reach out when the bill goes, the full budget goes to the floor, because it's really hard to pull back what's already in the full budget. But now we can address it. All the meetings for Ways and Means and Finance are online. they're live streamed. The agenda items are on there. I encourage everyone to dig into it and be like, why, like you said, why is this money going to that parking garage in Spartanburg? I'm against this. And the legislator will go up to the subcommittee chair and like, I'm against this right here. And if you don't work for me, you don't work with me right now, then I'm going to have to vote against the budget or vote against this section. So it's easy to vote. Now, a lot of some of those legislators have done the work and rigor to vote against the budget overall, and you know, when it goes to the floor. But have they done the work on the front end to try to adjust it? And as people, have they been in tune when we're doing it on the subcommittee level to address that? And they're doing it right now. We have maybe five meetings this week that they're addressing treasurer's office, you know, healthcare, all these different agencies in the state. And so now's the time to weigh in. Now's the time to hit me up, hit up other people and be like, I'm against this type of spending for this, this, and this. And like you said, there's tons of money out there right now, tons of it. And we got to be responsible. This is a time where we can do bold conservative strategies like, you know, flatten taxes for people, get school choice in, do bold, you know, conservative measures that we should have done in the past that we have never done because I don't know why. We just don't. We have super majorities in both House and Senate. You know, why, in some of these measures, why is it taking, you know, so long to get these implemented? So now is the time to do it, not wasteful spending, but conservative measures, tax reform, school choice, ethics reform, all this kind of thing that we could be doing. So that's kind of an overall dynamic of how I approach the budget and how I'm going to tackle it this year, sitting in all the Ways and Means Committee, asking them why they're doing this, giving them the chance to adjust it, and then seeing at the end, well, this budget's too big. They didn't take my input. I'm going to vote against it. So it's a lot of work, but it's worth it. And people can tune in and do it. Like, don't just be tuned in at the very end when the budget goes in. Like, hit us up now when we're actually formulating the budget. So, but you're right, Lee. There's tons of money in there.
Well, I'll tell you, there's when I look at these budgets, and I was in there for 8 years, there are two words that come to mind. And, you know, I understand what you're saying about the process. I was never on finance, although I did filibuster the budget and get $300 million directly to the counties for roads that took it out of the legislative process. But the bottom line is there's two words that always came to mind when I saw the budget come through, and that's legal plunder. And that's where we are as a state. And I don't know if we agree or disagree, but art centers and things like that, when you're forcing people through the tax system to pay for things that they don't, that not everybody enjoys, and that's a misuse of government. It's a misuse of the appropriations project. And, you know, I disagree with you. I could never vote for those budgets because it was out. And I know that there's an argument that you whittle them down, but my view is you whittle them down during that process that you're talking about and get as much pork as you can out. But still, the overall budget is nothing but legal plunder in my mind. And at some point, we got to draw the line, whether it's the Second Amendment or the purse, we got to draw the line. Representative Bobby Cox, I appreciate you being on the show. And we're not up against the break right this minute, so I want to give you the last word.
Yeah, no. And Lee, I agree as well. I mean, you know, if I ran my household and, you know, in my business as like the government does, I'd be on the streets. And so we should do the same thing when it comes to our government. I voted against several sections in the budget that are full of pork, like you said. And we have to ask the hard questions where, you know, where can we cut spending? Why are we doing this? And that's what I'm doing. And so, you know, I look forward to this budget process. I'm more savvy now. I'm more in tune with it. I see what's going on down there. So I'm excited about actually addressing some of these concerns that you've mentioned, a lot of people mentioned, because if we don't pull it back too late, the kids I'm about to go sledding with, the state and country they're enjoying right now is going to be a totally different world. And it's not going to be the bright future of America that I promise them every day if they work hard and abide by God-fearing values and work-hard ethics. So I look forward to working with you, Lee, and everyone else on this list to do that. And I have a passion for that. And so please reach out anytime that we can address this. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to serve and address the concerns during this time in our state. So thank you so much for having me on. Man, three different sections, Lee. I feel honored.
Hey, be safe, and I appreciate you coming on. And enjoy your children because they grow up fast.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they still think I'm cool, which is good.
But there you go. But, Representative Bobby Cox, thanks for being on the line, and we appreciate you being generous with your time. Enjoy your children. And this is Lee filling in for Tara, and we'll be back on the other side. Hello. Lee Bright filling in for Tara this morning. We have just had an interesting conversation with Representative Bobby Cox. We have our disagreements on the strategy. You know, I really feel like we could have gotten constitutional carry this session. I don't think that we're going to get it now, because now the Senate they can point to a bill that they've passed, and that's kind of how it works. A lot of these politicians, they're not in it for the issues. What their primary concern is they got to get a mail piece that says they're pro-gun. And once they pass a bill, they got the mail piece. And I'm not saying Representative Cox is that way. I'm saying that's probably a majority of the Senate. I mean, they want to have something they can send out. And I know that the majority leader staked out that position, that he wasn't going to support it. But I'm going to tell you, when the pressure came to bear and his vote was the one vote that was going to decide if it passed or not. And let me tell you, the majority leader is from Aiken and Edgefield, South Carolina. And majority leaders can lose their Senate seats, and they're no longer majority leaders. If he'd had the pressure that would had we given them no choice but constitutional carry, and he had that kind of pressure, and also the chairman of Judiciary had a very tough primary, taken to a runoff in the last election. Both those gentlemen had the full pressure of the gun supporters in South Carolina on their backs. I believe they both would have caved. So I think it was just a miscalculation on the part of the folks over on the House side to give the Senate that opportunity. I do believe that Representative Jonathan Hill was right in his assessment, and I'd assessed it the same at the time. So I don't think we'll get it this year, maybe the next session. What they want to do is kind of carve each time, because once you've got constitutional carry, there's not a lot to do on guns, which means there's not a lot of the campaign on. I mean, some of these issues, you know, don't want to be solved, because once they're solved, then you can no longer talk about them. And then you might get drilling down into things like the budget. And then you really see what's going on in Columbia. I mean, this spending is so out of control. And it's not, you know, we focus on the federal level, but the state level spending. And we're going to have Curtis Loftus is planning on being with us in the next hour. We're going to talk about our retirement system, because we're not where we need to be there. And, you know, we've got some situations as a state that we need to deal with. And another thing is the income tax. I mean, we have got to cut our income tax. We're not competitive. This thing of throwing this money around to the special interest groups and not giving it back to the taxpayer has got to stop. But our people have got to get more engaged, because right now we're not there. We are not there on engagement. And it's got to be done. I keep pushing the nerve.org. If you want to dig into the details, and I appreciate Representative Bobby Cox's advice that people need to be involved and pay attention to the committee process. But a lot of folks, I mean, they've got kids to raise, and they don't have the time to watch these committee hearings. They don't have time for all that. If you do, God bless you. Take the time and educate your friends and neighbors. I'm not discouraging that by any means. But if you want a quick summation of what's going on in Columbia, you can do a quick browse of the nerve.org, and I'll tell you, that's where you get a lot of your information of what's going on. I wouldn't recommend, you know, Americans for Prosperity. I've dealt with those folks, and they were big supporters of Nancy Mace. You know, they dropped mail pieces in her district, big Graham supporters. They support a lot of the moderate candidates. So, I mean, I would not recommend them for an outlet. But as far as, you know, other groups in the state, you know, the Policy Council is affiliated with the Nerve. Dave Swartz, you know, AFP is a good group. I mean, there are a lot of folks out there that are not sold out to the establishment. And, you know, those are the folks you need to listen to, because a lot of these other organizations are just mouthpieces. And sometimes I think, you know, there's a lot of false opposition out there where you think people are with you, but they're really not. I mean, it's amazing. It's like peeling back an onion. The more you get engaged, the more you find out. And it doesn't take much for the establishment groups to take over these organizations and infiltrate them. And then, you know, people are used to dealing with them, and they get this false sense of trust, and they don't realize that they're you know, helping the enemy. So we got to be real careful in who we listen to out there. I mean, there are groups you can listen. And then, you know, there's a lot of groups that, you know, I know that you know, Presley Stutz, when he was alive, did a good job of getting out information, you know, to voters. And I even on a precinct level, the Fair Forest precinct over in Spartanburg is actually getting engaged on a precinct level. And, you know, if you get together and communicate and watch these legislators and hold them accountable. You would be amazed the difference you can make. I know, you know, if Evan Mulch with the John Birch Society puts out a lot of good information, and you know, you can get so much out there. Now, you know, I'm not saying that any organization is going to be 100% accurate. You've got to have a lot of sources, and then you can go in and, you know, kind of filter yourself. I mean, you've got to be educated, but you know, I do agree that if you've got time to catch a committee hearing or you know, watch the budget process, I mean, I think that's a great thing. But I'd say probably the one of the best sources I've found is the NERV.org and the South Carolina Policy Council for information. They really do dig into things. But, you know, it's obviously, you know, Tara's show, a lot of these shows that, you know, are really good to stay in tune as well. And we're up against a hard break, but this is Lee Bright filling in for Tara. And the next hour we should have our state treasurer, Curtis Loftus.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.